Good evening, Blue Jays fans. We are on the eve of the, I want to say, Blue Jays being on their last rights series with the Oakland Athletics coming to town. Three games coming up and three back of the Oakland Athletics. So it really does feel like this is it. It's Jay Bird watching with Adam and Craig, presented by Stadium Scene. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
What's going on?
Good, man. Like the show is entitled, We Have a Window of Opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Is it? We shall debate about that as the show goes along, based on what we were talking about in our text group this morning. But there has been a little bit of better baseball, I want to say, the last six or so games. I mean, maybe some luck, some incredible pitching, maybe some timely hitting, as the Blue Jays took 2-3 from the Detroit Tigers over the weekend at Comerica Park and came home to play the Baltimore Orioles. And I would say, other than Monday, barely ended up winning the series against the Orioles 2-3, a 5-4 win last night. So, you know what? Four wins and six opportunities. That is better than what the team was doing after they were on their West Coast trip and came back from their West Coast trip. Basically, since that George Springer grand slam against Boston, it's been a lot. It's been a pretty much a bumpy road and a lot of disappointment, a lot of bullpen leads coughed up, untimely hitting. The offense has gone dry. But Craig, we'll start with you. Does beating Baltimore and Detroit 2 out of 3 times, not even mixing in a split there, but you know what? They won the series in both of them. Does that give you any sort of hope now that we're into September and you have about 4 weeks of games left for the Blue Jays to go on any sort of last run to make a last-ditch effort at getting into the postseason?
The biggest thing I think that they got going for them right now is the fact that the pitching is definitely on all cylinders. We even saw that with Berríos finally coming to form with the littlest of changes. We're going to talk more about that too. But to the fact that if they can finally start hitting the ball, and if we got Springer back in, there is a chance. I'm not saying anything. I'm not trying to give everybody gloom and doom here. But to that point, they have to drive in these runs that they've been leaving on the bases to be able to supplement this fact. These shouldn't have been close games, especially against the Baltimore Orioles. You know, the Tigers, I will give you the fact, if you literally null out the month of April, they are a winning ball club for this season. So there's something going on in Detroit that is heading in the right direction for their development. So they weren't going to be the easiest of tasks to begin with. But to that point, the Baltimore Orioles should have been a pushover. And even these scores that we saw on them, we shouldn't have had been relying on a win in the eighth inning last night, especially. And then to that fact, Steven Matz had one bad inning where he walks in a couple of runs and that ball game looks completely different. So there's a chance the right things have to happen, but the offense needs to start clicking. And I think we're starting to see the signs of that.
Adam.
I don't know.
See, he's going to give you the doom. I gave the.
I don't know.
Dr. Doom.
I don't know. We, you know, you brought up the exchange in our group chat about the Blue Jays and their chances and whatnot. And I sent over a tweet. I forget who tweeted it out. But
Josh Goldberg, right?
There you go. The Blue Jays they're only allowed to lose, I want to say, 9 games.
Yep.
Moving forward. I'm looking at it right now. 21-9. That's a tall order when you have games coming up, 3 against Oakland and then 4 in New York.
Yeah.
You can forget about I don't want to bury the lead in terms of predictions, but you can forget about the Baltimore series because I think, you know, even though we did lose a game, I think we should be able to handle that. But then you got Tampa Bay right after that. It's tough. It's really tough to see them play anything less than, well, anything more than anything better, I should say, than what they've been playing. That's almost perfect baseball. And the Blue Jays, as of right now, haven't been demonstrating that they can play perfect baseball. Now, I don't want to wax poetically here, but maybe they can find something within them, find some sort of I don't know, will to really ride these winning streaks or lack thereof or winning these games and push forward. We sort of saw it last year. We saw them have this ability to sort of capitalize on these pretty big moments, these wins, and push through and sort of force their way into the playoffs. I'd like to think they can do that. And maybe by that Tampa series, Tampa has it in the bag and they're just going to rest people. It's probably a little too early for that. But I'm not optimistic. That's not to say that I think it's impossible, but the bullpen's a little volatile. I question, as we have been all year, Montoyo's decision-making. It's all hands on deck. That means the offense has to wake up. That means the pitching, starting pitching at the very least, has to continue to be good. Ryu has to be better. And it's all hands on deck. Romano has to pitch multiple games in a row if it's close. So if all those things can happen, I think they got a good shot. But we haven't seen that in practice all year. So it's hard for me to believe that.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. It just seems like it's kind of like, I feel like pulling my hair out whenever I watch this team ever since that West Coast trip. It's been just like, okay, we're mounting a little bit of a comeback, and they just managed to find a way to hit into a double play at the wrong time. They strike out at the wrong time. Some questionable decisions by Charlie Montoyo in terms of who he's bringing in from the bullpen. Questionable decisions to bunt. Pinch hit, yeah, that too. Basically everything in a way has been questioned and scrutinized, and for good reason. It kind of feels like as the pressure has mounted up, as the games have gotten more and more crucial for them to go on a run and stay in the race, the flurry of bad decisions has come more and more frequently than it has throughout, I would probably say, Charlie's career as a Blue Jays manager at this point. And I know I didn't add this to the agenda, but we can debate it a little bit, is if this team does fail to go to the postseason, which, I mean, they have to go 21-9 to get to 90, 91 wins or whatever it is, and you have a boatload of games against the Yankees and the Rays and three against Oakland this weekend. So some very tough matchups coming up. I don't know, like, do you look back at some of the decisions back in May, you look at some of the decisions in August and even to this day and think, Charlie, your job could be on thin ice, and maybe we get our, or some of us get our wish. And Adam, he actually was a bridge manager, and they go in a different direction at the end of the season. I don't want to start like doing the
trials for the off season.
Yeah, guys. The trials for the off season, but it's worth thinking about given how much this team has kind of slowly yet also kind of quickly crashed and burned since that George Springer Grand Slam.
I mean. Do I think that Charlie Montoyo is solely responsible for the Blue Jays' lack of production or the fact that they're not meeting our expectations? I don't even want to say exceeding. I don't rest that fully on him, right? Sure, some of the bullpen decisions have been questionable. Some of the in-game management decisions have been questionable. But by and large, this team is where they're at in this position because of their poor bullpen play. And I think you can chalk that up to a combination of the individuals that are pitching and not pitching well, and the fact that the front office, you know, although a lot of the bullpen pieces that we had didn't even get a chance to play on this team due to injury, right. Some of them did for very short periods of time. That sort of was a last priority for the front office in terms of building the roster. Maybe they revisit that next year and say, okay, we're going to take the ball and we're going to really push all our chips in. Charlie, this is your last chance.
Right.
That wouldn't surprise me. And again, if we're evaluating it on the notion that managers don't really have in-game decisions or the power to make those decisions as frequently as they used to, then it's not really his fault and it's not really his decisions to be made. He's just the one prima facie making the decisions, you know, just for the camera. I just don't think he's suited for this club. I don't know how the club is interacting with him. I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure they respect him. I'm sure there's no bad blood. I'm sure it's not, you know, something that is, there's tension in the locker room. I certainly hope there wouldn't be, but I just don't see championship in terms of his leadership skills. I don't see championship in terms of how he carries himself. And maybe that's just me being, I don't know, a little bit judgmental. But when you look at managers like Kevin Cash, when you look at managers like Alex Cora, there's a sort of vibe and an aura to them that, you know, carries along with it championship. I just don't get that vibe from Charlie. That's subjective. That's not something that you can put on paper. That's not something that you can evaluate in a job interview. That's not something that you should be fired for. It's just my personal opinion on how he carries himself.
Craig?
But to that point, you're going to get to this point. Let's say that to your idea a minute ago, Brendan, that they do find, you know, they fizzle out this year and they go in all in this offseason to be able to find and plug all these holes in the team. What if they get off to a shitty start in April next year?
Yeah.
He's gone. There's no way in hell. This is the same. This is the same situation on how Cito Gaston got hired to be the Blue Jays full-time manager back in the day. So at the time, I forget the gentleman that lost his job, but he comes in 1990 and they ended up having a winning record in that window there with Cito at the helm. And it was enough to push for a playoff spot that year. That was pretty impressive for him to be able to do. So it's going to come, if it doesn't come this season, that shit or get off the pot time is going to come to if they want to stick with Charlie Montoyo or not. And I will say right now, I don't see how they're not throwing money at this offseason. So that's going to happen. I think it's one of those things that's going to solve itself really quick. But it's one of those things that I don't, obviously they can't do anything about this season, but I was shocked that they gave him the extension that they did without having something a little bit more in the frying pan, at least cooking, right? But to that point, it's a young team and he was doing well with the young guys. We'll see what happens. But like I said, I think the trial happens after a few more months here.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on. And maybe that's one of those things we do right before the spring training with how that offseason goes we were just talking about.
Right. No, I think you both made good points there. And yeah, we will obviously, just like we've done in the last couple of years, do a full-scale trial on everybody after the season is done, including Charlie. But yeah, I mean, I think it's worth thinking about this early on, because after the trade deadline, that was pretty much the closest that we had to, all right, we're going for a playoff spot, probably since 2015. 2016 was a little bit of patchwork. I'd say 2020 was, other than Taiwan Walker, a little bit of patchwork, but also gambling that you could get something out of Robbie Ray and the other additions that they had made in 2020. Plus, that's a weird year. We all know that. It was only 60 games, and they squeezed in an 8-team American League and 8-team National League playoff system. So probably the first time since 2015 they had a full-scale buy-in and going for it for a postseason spot. And it looked like it was going to work out really, really nicely. They got off to that incredible, 9-2 run in those 11 games when they were back in Toronto. And after they went out to LA on the West Coast and they kind of sputtered against the Angels, George Springer gets hurt against the Mariners, and then they come back and get swept by the Nationals. And then, you know what, here we go. You lose 2-3 to the Tigers. And then they were able to split against the White Sox, and then here we are, right where they are. So I don't know, Charlie, I think we'll trial again, as I said, but I think you guys are right. He does open up next season as the manager, and to be fair to him, this really was the first full season that he's had in a go for it win now mode, right? Because 2019 was a full 162 and that team wasn't expected to do anything. Last year was last year. And so, yeah, I think he kind of, because of 2020, has bought himself an extra season of managing, but that remains to be seen. You did make a good point there, Adam, and I know this wasn't on the agenda either, but I'm also thinking of topics as we go, too, that the bullpen, obviously that's been an issue pretty much the entire season. And you go back and look at the acquisitions of Trevor Richards, Adam Simber, Joaquin Soria, and Brad Hand. And Brad Hand was DFA'd just the other day by the Blue Jays, and they gave up Riley Adams for him. And you know what? Do you think the front office is kind of regretting not being a little bit more aggressive in adding bullpen pieces? Or was it just kind of like, you know what? There's some good arms in here. They're not great. Let's take a gamble and see if we can get something out of them. What are your thoughts on losing Riley Adams for Brad Hand, and ultimately that trade's now nothing and goes down as a pretty bad one, but also do you think they regret not being a little bit more aggressive to fortify the bullpen
in the trade deadline, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it depends on the asking price. They clearly went all in with their starting pitching aspirations to get Berríos and to have him for an extra year. So that was advantageous. And again, I don't necessarily hate that trade. I don't necessarily hate the Brad Hand trade either. I just wish that we could have used Riley Adams to get something a little bit better. When you examine just the two pieces by themselves, you can say to yourself, okay, we weren't going to have a place for Riley Adams on this team. Gabriel Moreno is the guy of the future here, so it's not like there was still going to be a logjam. And, you know, Kirk is still going to be on this team, and maybe even Reese will still be on this team. So there's three catchers right there. So
not to mention Jansen came back and hit a home run the other
there
night.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. And they're talking up the connection with him and Ryu as well, but despite the loss. So as an individual, do I hate the fact that we don't have Riley Adams anymore? No, because I don't think he was going to get regular playing time, and good for him that he's getting regular playing time with Washington. However, I just wish we could have traded him for something better. Right. When you make this trade and you sort of hype up the fact that the bullpen is better, and, you know, half of the reason why you made that evaluation is now playing for the New York Mets, it sort of makes me question your decision-making process. And maybe it was a little bit more of a, all right, we're going to not sort of evaluate this as best or as much in a robust form as we could or would have if this was the offseason or whatnot. And don't forget, they were chasing him then, too. It might have been a bidding war. Maybe Riley Adams was the chip to push it over the top. I don't know. But am I upset about it? No. Do I think that they need to do a better job with their bullpen evaluation of talent? Yes. I think the biggest mistake we're going to reflect on in the offseason, no matter what happens with this team, save for a World Series victory, which probably won't happen, is the fact that they didn't go after, what's his name? Dude for Chicago. Played
Liam Hendricks.
There you go. Yeah, Hendricks. The fact that they weren't more aggressive acquiring him, because if Liam Hendricks was in this bullpen, I think we'd be much closer to a wild card spot, or maybe even holding one right now.
Yeah, I think they'd be holding one. Craig, same questions to you.
So I agree with you that you would never on paper ever assume that Brad Hand was going to be as rough as Brad Hand was. Brad Hand all of a sudden looks like he is clawing and hoping to stay with a major league career all of a sudden with what the Blue Jays fans saw and what the end of the Nats career there for him saw. So the Mets fans are now hoping to get another Blue Jay cast off that can all of a sudden recapture some kind of previous year form. I name Marcus Stroman, Kevin Pillar, how many Mets guys now?
Lots.
I think even Brandon Drury is on the Mets.
Yeah.
Right now.
What's his name?
Sean Reed Foley.
Is Sean Reed Foley on that team?
Reed Foley was the one that was traded when we went the.
There you go.
Well, oh, yeah. So Yenzi Diaz has been up at some point for the Mets, too.
I can't say he's a cast off, though.
Yeah,
yeah. He was so young. We all knew and loved Sean Reed Foley as the next great Blue Jay closer. But yeah, obviously, he never got there, and Jordan Romano beat him to the punch. So there is that. Yeah. But. It's amazing what the hell has been going on and what hodgepodgery we've had to do with our bullpen. And to a couple people on our Twitter account mentioned, what do you think that, you know, now we have September call-ups, what does Nate Pearson do for this bullpen with his velocity and all that kind of stuff? That's exactly it. You are hoping for a lot from Nate Pearson to come and solidify that spot that you just tossed Brad Hand out of, right? So there's a lot going on in this bullpen, and it's been a continually moving, molding, you know, like amoeba at this point for the whole season. It hasn't stayed still for 1 or 2 seconds. The only consistent person, honestly, in this whole thing has been Adam Simber since we acquired him.
Yeah.
So it's amazing to what the heck is going on this. And they have to throw money at the pitching period in the bullpen. And it would be so nice for them to go out this offseason and find that guy that they weren't able to get at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And just bring it home and get them in there solid. They need somebody that can be a big veteran presence or that young up and coming guy to match with Jordan Romano.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And maybe Nate Pearson can do that. Sorry, go ahead, Adam.
No, I was going to say, I wanted to toss something out there for you guys, and I'm interested in getting your take. You know, and I don't know if this is on the agenda, you know, in terms of impromptu stuff, Brendan, but, you know, there's a lot of talk about Robbie Ray right now and how well he's been pitching. He's been fantastic. And in fact, we were celebrating the trade acquisition yesterday. when Arizona sent him over. If it's going to cost a lot, and I'm thinking it's going to be upwards of $20 million a year now, it would not surprise me if he signed for $4 and $80 million. If that was at the cost, or rather the disadvantage of signing solid bullpen arms, are you making that move? I am.
Ooh. Yeah, I think I am too.
Yeah, I think you do it.
I think you have.
I mean, it's more innings, period. You know.
Yeah, like,
More innings. And honestly, that's what it is right now. You need more consistent innings, and that's what they haven't been getting all season. Consistent innings, period. And that's rotation and bullpen, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, I'd pay
but
that.
But to that point, the rotation's been a lot better.
Yeah. No, the rotation. Steven Matz has been incredible in the month of August. Like they showed yesterday, I think he was, what, 3-0 with an under 2 ERA? So he's really righted the ship again outside of that one inning last night.
Player of the month, Robbie Ray.
Yeah, I mean, he just keeps on getting better and better. And truly, like, I'd be shocked if it's not between him and Gerrit Cole at this point. I know Rodon and Lance Lynn might be in there, but there's some injuries for a couple of them. So Robbie Ray has a shot. I would not be surprised if he's a finalist and in the top three. He's just getting better and better as the season goes along. But yeah, Adam, to answer your question, 480, if that's what it takes to get him back, I'm doing that in a heartbeat. Because
I think that's the starting price. It would not shock me. I'm not saying this is what he's going to sign for. Would not shock me if it was 5 and 100. It really wouldn't. Or if it was 5 at 110, it just wouldn't. Well, because he's earned it at this point. And you want the longevity. If the Blue Jays, in terms of their pitching, what did Ryu sign for? 4, right?
480. Yeah.
Yeah. I see him exceeding that. And if the Blue Jays are going to be bold to sign a pitcher for 5 years, that's bold. Because chances are in year 4, he's not going to be that good.
No.
You know? So.
But to that point, if you're looking at the contract for that 5th year and you're expecting it to be rough, right? Somebody like Ryu versus Ray in that argument, I would give the 5th year maybe to somebody like Robbie Ray, because one way or the other, I could put him in my bullpen and let him throw gas.
True.
You know, outside of the fact that his arm might fall off by then, I don't know. Or he cuts the circulation off to his pants. I have no idea.
No, I'm going to try not to throw any more impromptu topics at you guys because it wasn't on there. But no, it's great. And that's what I love about this show and doing it with you guys is we can do that and bring up items that are not on the agenda that either of us send over to each other. And it's
the reason it's called an agenda, not a script.
That's right. Yes, it isn't a script. But yeah, you know what? As we get closer to the off season, which hopefully is a little bit into mid-October, but not looking likely, the conversation around Blue Jays land and Blue Jays Twitter will be Marcus Semien or Robbie Ray. If you could only pick one, who is it? And I'm sure this conversation is not going to go away until one or both are signed or go elsewhere. So it's going to be a lot of Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien from here on out. You can bet that. Let's turn to some positives from the last 6 days and a bit. And that is, let's start with Jose Berríos. He started on Sunday at Detroit, a place he's very familiar with from his days with the Minnesota Twins. And after some rough outings that really dated back to his Angels start on that last night of the Angels series before going to Seattle, he bounced back in an incredible way on Sunday afternoon, where he threw 7 innings, 11 strikeouts. The Blue Jays ended up winning, 2-1 on Sunday, and they were able to walk out of Detroit winning 2 out of 3. Adam, we'll start with you on this one. How crucial is it for Jose Berríos to get back to his form from his first 3 starts as a Blue Jay? Because like you said, if they do want to have a chance to get to the playoffs, they have to be virtually perfect. And that's all 5 guys in the rotation going out there and throwing 6 or 7 at this point, with the way the offense has been, 1 run, 2 runs or less to give them a shot to win. So how are you encouraged that hopefully the small mechanical adjustment is enough to get Berríos to finish the season strong and maybe go on a run?
Yeah, Craig, I think you and I touched on this last week that, you know, we were concerned about his struggles and having a game that he can just sort of have a pick me up to carry over into his next start is crucially beneficial. And this is exactly the best case scenario that we saw from Berríos. You know, 7 strong innings. First of all, being able to go 7 is a rarity.
Especially after
days.
That.
Yes.
You know, that was a huge improvement that quick. It was nuts.
And, you know, with 7 Ks, Good stuff. Am I encouraged? Yes. Do I expect that kind of production every start from here to the end of the season? No, but that doesn't mean I expect him to be as bad as he was previously. I think somewhere in the middle is fair to assume, and if he exceeds that, perfect. There's nothing more that you can ask for. But we traded for him for a reason. You know, we gave up some substantial draft capital, prospect capital for a reason. And, you know, everybody knows what it is. If he is not performing the way the Blue Jays, have anticipated and we have anticipated him to perform, they're not making the postseason. We said in the beginning, all hands on deck. You need to play near perfect baseball. And the margin for error is so incredibly thin that just a poor outing going four innings or five innings even, it's just not going to cut it. So it's, you got to push through. And if this is any indication of how he's going to be within the next couple of starts, these crucial starts, yes, I'm encouraged. And yes, like, I'll be white knuckling my chair. Don't get me wrong, but I'm at least resting my laurels in the back of my mind saying, all right, he had a good outing. Let's just see what he can do. So I'm a bit more relaxed when it comes to Barrios compared to how I was watching him in the beginning of the Detroit game.
Right. Craig?
I've had the pleasure of, I'm almost cheating. I've had the pleasure of watching Jose Barrios since he was in the Minnesota Twins minor league system, coming and playing here in Rochester, New York, all the time. I've seen him and knew he was going to be something big. And to me, I saw this as a bump of the road, those couple starts that we have, just like his April was this season. And I knew there had to be something wrong. Did I think it was anything like this, where there was that big of a mechanical thing? He full on took the whole over the head everything out of that.
Yeah.
Super simplified, and this is more Pete Walker voodoo dust magic, whatever the hell you want to call it. And he just broke it down. They had to have been talking about it, and whether it was a confidence thing, a mechanics thing, whatever it might be, to that point where they were like, okay, let's just try this for a couple of, you know, probably bullpen sessions. The pen sessions probably went incredible. And he goes, you know what, just try it and carry it over a game and see what the heck happens. And then we got to see what it did. You pitched seven innings for the first time as a Blue Jay. You had seven strikeouts, and you took a team to school. And like I said, the Tigers are an up-and-coming team. It's not like they're slouches. There's a lot of young talent in that lineup. They just haven't learned how to play at the major league level yet. So it could have came together just like that Angels game against them and just been the perfect lineup of the, you know, screw you over, that kind of like thing, right? So to see Barrios come out and do that, I agree with Adam. You can't expect that every start, but I'm thinking it's going to be closer to that avenue if this kind of work continues to pay off for him than to the point of being in that weird ballpark where we were seeing Steven Matz and Stripling battling back and forth. I think he's closer to what we saw yesterday than he is going in that other direction. And if the Blue Jays get something close to that form that we saw from him the other day, it's going to be a very interesting as far as the pitching aspect down the stretch here.
Yeah, and if that does happen and he does finish the season strong, then it is truly all back on the offense to make sure that they do pick it up compared to what they've been doing the last 3 weeks and whatnot. Yeah, his next start is Saturday against the Oakland Athletics. And as we've said a couple times, huge series. Kind of like last rites, as I said at the top of the show in the intro, this is a huge opportunity for the Blue Jays, being three back in three games against Oakland coming up. And if Barrios can deliver a win, that would be huge. And that's why you pick them up, to win games like that. Shifting gears to the offensive side of things, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. looks like he may start to be coming out of his little three-week slump, or actually kind of close to an all-month thing. August wasn't very kind to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He still hit a couple bombs early on, and then he really hit a rut. Pretty much when the whole team hit that rut on the West Coast trip, to be completely honest. So, Craig, it was just Baltimore. And it was Baltimore pitching. So how much are you buying into Vlad being back? Because after those two home runs the other night, and then again, what was it, Tuesday? Everybody's like, yep, he's back and ready to go. So are you on the yep, he's back train? Or are you going to, like, let's see what he does against a little bit better pitching first?
I'm on the this is the return of Vladdy Vicious, right? That's where I'm at. You know, guys, that's my terminology for when he goes off is Vladdy Vicious. So, but to that point, I agree. Yes. Okay. It was the Baltimore Orioles, but the thing I'm going to take away was those at bats they did hit the home runs in. That one guy was stupid enough to throw him two curveballs in a row. And then he goes, you know what? He didn't throw either of those across the plate. I'm just going to sit slow and see what happens. And he destroys it. And so, yes, that was probably a dumb mistake to throw three curveballs in a row, but that was a pitch that that pitcher was confident in. And I would have never thought he was going to throw a third curveball again in a row. So he tattooed it. So to that point, the confidence level for Vlad is back. And when Vlad is having fun and confident at the plate, major league pitchers should be hiding in their shells. It's just how it is. We saw it all at the beginning of the season. That confidence is back. And I really do not see him. Like I said, maybe it's not this kind of a series consistent, but it's going to be him hitting the ball again. It's not going to be this a dismal slump that we saw him just come out of. It's going to be fun to watch.
Remember how last year we were talking about him playing third base and how a big thing that I recognized was the poor production at third. You're worried about that bleeding over into the offensive side of things and maybe, you know, making mental errors or actual errors in the field would, you know, sort of make him lose focus at the plate. And maybe that's what contributed to performing so poorly at the plate. And this year we're seeing him sort of blossom. I think that has a lot to do with it this year. We've seen him make spectacular plays at first. That little sidearm throw, like that little toss to Matz, I think it was, what was it on Friday? No.
Yeah.
Monday?
No, it was the other night, right? Monday.
Sunday?
Night.
I don't know. Yeah. It was just incredible seeing him do these little things and having a smile on his face while doing it. I think that boosts his confidence. And every good hitter is going to have a slump. Unfortunately, this happened at the absolute worst time for him to have a slump.
But you sort of the entire team.
Yeah. You sort of expect that with someone like Vlad because this is his first full season. And, you know, if the entire team wasn't slumping at the same time, you could forgive him for it and say, yeah, it's growing pains. But I think when you have these defensive plays and you perform well doing them, you sort of gain confidence, say, hey, I can still play this game. No matter the slump, I'm still contributing to my team. I'm still contributing to run prevention. I can do this. Carrying that confidence over to the plate, and we're seeing it in practice, especially against a team like Baltimore. Now, I know Baltimore is the shittiest team in MLB, so whatever, but you take that, right? It's just like Barrios. You take those games, and you build on them and say, hey, they're still a major league team. They're still a major league ball.
They don't want to lose.
Yeah.
Nobody likes losing.
They want to know. No one likes losing. Yes. Yes. Still a they're professional athletes, and you're still hitting bombs, three of them, off of professional athletes. So you run with that, especially against a crucial series against the A's. So is he back? I sure as fuck hope so. Yeah. Man, I mean, like, even, you know, look, I'm not even going to front. Even August wasn't that bad. It was just bad to Vladdy's standards, right? I'm looking at it right here. Like the full month of August, his line was 267, 346, 440, 786. You want the OBP and the slugging to be up a little bit, but still that batting average of 267 with six home runs, you're going to take that. Like if
there's guys that made career years out of that 267. Yes. Yeah. I'm looking at you, Carlos Pena.
Yes. You're going to take that. And you know, sure, 20 strikeouts or whatever, but you're still going to take it. You're still going to take that kind of production. Am I disappointed? Slightly, but it's forgivable, seeing as though he was on a tear throughout the majority, if not the entire year so far. So, yeah, it's just bad timing. You're coming back to Toronto, right? You have this crucial series against Oakland. They're not blind to this, right? If we know it, they know it. I have a feeling he's going to come out guns blazing. I think he's riding this confidence that he from the performance that he had against Baltimore. And I think he's going to be just fine. I think September is going to be a very good month for Vladdy.
I'm leaning in that direction, too, to be honest. And the exciting thing about that is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is probably one of the first Blue Jays since Edwin Encarnacion, Jose Bautista, and Josh Donaldson that could single-handedly carry a team for a month and go on crazy stretches. Remember when Edwin hit
like, what was it, 17 home runs in the month of May back in 2014. Yeah. That is, I'm pretty sure they went 21-9 in that month, to be completely honest. So why can't they do it again? I'm not saying Vlad's going to hit 17, but luckily he has more of a supporting cast to help him potentially. Like, if George Springer heats up a little bit and hopefully his knee doesn't buckle again, Marcus Semien keeps doing what he's doing, Teoscar gets hot again. That's the thing that's so tantalizing with this team, guys, and why it's so frustrating to see them do what they've done the last 3 weeks is it's in them. It is in them to have a 21-9 month, especially with the way the starting pitching has gone. It's just entirely on the offense to score enough runs to the point where the bullpen can't cough it up. Like, unfortunately, that's just the situation where it is, where they have to score at least 5, 6, 7 runs, and hopefully the starting pitching continues to do what it's doing and only allow 2, 3, maybe 4 runs, and you have a decent lead going late into a game. But it is possible, and it starts this weekend. So let's shift our gears to the Oakland Athletics.
I have one last. So I don't think Blue Jays fans have realized how good Vlad is yet until you think of really this comp thing. To me, the only guy in Blue Jay history that's actually a legit comp is Carlos Delgado. Yeah, and it's because he hit for average, home runs, RBIs, and then Vlad has a chance to be the guy that actually, you know, Delgado hit a ton of doubles, but Vlad has sneaky speed. He could be one of those guys that was like Albert Bell in his prime and get 40-40 for doubles and home runs in a season. Last Blue Jay that did that, sadly, is a guy that played for one goddamn season, and that was Jose Canseco. He actually tripled it up. It was 40 home runs, 40 doubles, I believe, and 30 stolen bases or something like that. So, which is weird because Jose Canseco was like near death at that point when he joins the Blue Jays. But, there was another point that came up in the Twitter field here when we were talking about him switching over from third base and all that kind of stuff and the confidence that he's reaped the benefits of while he's playing first base. In an interview the other day, he flat out said he never wants to play third base again.
Yeah.
That's a breath.
Are you shocked by this?
No.
Just wanted to put it out there because he was talking with Hazel May during one of the pregame shows, and that was what came up. So it was very interesting to hear from him, for somebody that was so adamant right before the season about still getting a chance to play third base. That is now completely washed out.
Yeah, no, it's the best thing that's happened to his career, and hopefully for the Blue Jays when they win a couple World Series in the next couple of years.
But yes, Oakland is coming to town, gentlemen, for 3 games. Said it already, and we'll say it again. They are 3 back, and they have 3 opportunities to make that gap 0 by the end of the weekend. Now, a sweep will be awfully tough because you're looking at Sean Manaea going for Oakland tomorrow night. I mean, 3.97 ERA, 156 strikeouts. He's a good pitcher. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? He's hittable. He can be hittable. Paul Blackburn on Saturday hasn't pitched a whole lot this season, so his 2.81 ERA, small sample size. Hopefully that's one that you can win. And then Cole Irvin on Sunday gave the Blue Jays fits in that series back when they were in Oakland. So that's probably the one I'm most worried about for this season is Sunday's game. But you have Robbie Ray going in that one on Sunday. You have Jose Berríos on Saturday. And tomorrow night, you have Alek Manoah on the mound for the Blue Jays. Kind of a similar rotation order to what it was when they came back to the Rogers Center for the first time against Kansas City. Manoah opened it up, and then they went, it was Stripling, but then it went Manoah, Berríos, his debut, and then Robbie Ray. And they won 2 out of 3 of those games. So, Craig, is 2 out of 3 enough in this series to keep them afloat for a little while longer as the season goes along? Because if you win, let's just say, you'd be 2 back of Oakland if you won 2 or 3. Eliminate that gap entirely by winning all 3, but have to be a little bit realistic with the way the offense has gone. You're facing some good pitching. Would you be satisfied with 2 out of 3, or to Adam's point earlier, with the sense of urgency, all hands on deck, and the fact that you can really only lose or have 9 losses to play with the rest of the season? Do you want the sweep? I mean, obviously, we all want the sweep.
I want the sweep. I know. I want to sweep all day, every day. I want to run this right to the end. Forget that 9 loss thing. Just freaking take all 30.
Yeah. Just
do that. So they have to win at least this series. This whole thing that they've been dancing around, this 4.5, 5 game line out of the wild card, if they really want to be taken serious, they need to take them to school against the Oakland A's. And they really need all 3 of them. And I think with what they have lining up for the pitching and the offense and everything this week, I think they have a good shot to be able to take this weekend. And it's going to be very interesting. This is the Blue Jays season right here in a nutshell. And if they don't run through this rest of this homestand here and take that game from the Oakland A's, this is just going to get to the point where we're going to be like waiting on 6 degrees for Kevin Bacon kind of like level things to be able to sneak into the playoffs. And it's going to be like the, you guys seen that movie Little Big League, right? They had the, you know, yeah, the one game playoff. It's going to end up like that, where they're all going to be sitting in the locker room waiting for somebody else to determine their fate, or for Adam and I, Bills fans, kind of like level of, you know, inception into the playoffs. But it has been this weekend. They have to take it to school, and they have to find a way to get on these Oakland A's pitchers. And I don't see the offense for the Oakland A's taking it too rough on our pitching that should line up for this weekend. I know it's quote-unquote, like, use that TBD, but we kind of have an idea who's going to be pitching. And they're going to be fine, I think. I think they're going to come out. This is, like I said, this is the weekend that they're going to put up or shut up, and I think they know that, and they're going to be there taking them to school.
Adam?
So it's not just what the Blue Jays have to do. It's what the teams that they're competing with have to do. So this is the position we're in. This is why it's all hands on deck, and this is why you definitely need a sweep. Because if you look at the Yankees have a 3-game series against Baltimore at home this weekend. All right. So at worst, they're going to go 2 out of 3 there, right? Boston has a 3-game series at home against Cleveland. They just beat the Rays last night. They're up 2-0 right now against Tampa. So you can, again, at worst, they're probably going to go 2 out of 3 against Cleveland, right? So, and again, Seattle is going to Arizona.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to take 2 out of 3 there. So, like, it's not just what the Blue Jays have to do. They have to sweep, and they have to hope for some unexpected losses by the aforementioned three clubs. If you're not going to sweep the A's, and, you know, the Yankees are going to take 2 out of 3, Boston's going to take 2 out of 3, Seattle's going to take 2 out of 3, you're probably just going to be where you're at.
Yeah.
You're going to stay where you're at. You're not going to be that far ahead, if at all. Right. And maybe you're ahead of Oakland at that point, because Seattle will win and, you know, trump them. But you got to do better than that. So you have to sweep. You have to sweep. And I'm not saying if they don't, it's over. But it's closer to being eliminated than being in the wild card.
Right.
Even if they sweep. It really depends on what the other teams around them are doing. So right now, I'll accept 2 out of 3 and hope for the best from the other teams. But realistically, you need to sweep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unfortunately my line of thinking as well. 2 out of 3, you know what? I'll be okay. Let's evaluate, see where things are on Sunday going into Labor Day, and make a hopefully rational thought process after that and be like, okay, there's a chance. You just have to win 3 out of 4 against the Yankees, and then you got to sweep Baltimore. That's just where it starts to get like all sorts of crazy scenarios where, yeah, you do have to work in some sweeps. So, but I'm just pulling it up here. Let's just, for argument's sake, as I pull up the wild card,
summarize your guys' point. You're bringing Oakland down to our level.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You got to bring them back. So, Adam, you said Boston's winning 2-0 right now over the Rays.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they won yesterday.
Yeah. So the Blue Jays not playing tonight are idle. They'd be 5 back of Boston with a loss. So, yeah, while you could gain ground on Oakland, there's a chance that you could close the gap to 0, but not gain any ground potentially on Boston, and you're still 5 back. So you got to hope that Cleveland at least wins 2 there. And then I forget who Boston plays after the Indians. But, yeah, you get
the point. I got you right now. They're playing Tampa. So that's advantageous, but it's at home.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully the Rays can sweep 2 there too. But yeah, it's crazy.
To the point of E-Rock on our Twitter, if you can't beat Oakland, you're not going to beat anybody the rest of the season.
No, exactly.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Same. How do you especially
with the New York series right after?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah,
the momentum against them and keep working up.
Yeah, we're all in agreement, gentlemen. 2 out of 3, you know what? Evaluate, see where you're at on Sunday and going into Monday when you go into Yankee Stadium. But if you have a sweep, that hopefully gives them confidence to roll into Yankee Stadium and be like, you know what? We could take 3 out of 4 here. And then you play Baltimore. The thing that sucks about the way the schedule goes, and that's what we'll go into for rolling into our next topic, is you play the Athletics, then you play the Yankees. Those are too tough. Then you play the Orioles. Then you play the Rays.
then you play what, the Twins, then you play the Rays again, then you play the Twins, then you play the Yankees, then you play the Orioles. So it's tough series, easy series, tough series, easy series. And I think that's what's going to make things maddening the rest of the year, is you might get some hope and optimism after next weekend when you beat Baltimore 2-3 times, or hopefully sweep them, but then knowing, oh shit, now we got to play the Rays. And then right after that, okay, we have our chance for optimism again, and to make some ground, we play Minnesota for 4 games. Oh shit, right after that, we play the Yankees again. So yeah, those last few games of the season, just with the way the schedule breaks out, thinking about that, A, it's maddening. It's just going to be like, yep, that just feels like that's how the season is going to fizzle out. It's just like, yeah, there's going to be some hope. We're all going to get excited, and then we're going to get let down. Hopefully not. But just with the way the schedule breaks down, knowing that, can they at least keep this interesting until the last week of the season? Because I think people would sign up for that, given how August has gone. Like, let's just say you enter the last week of the season. You go into 3 games with the Yankees and 3 with the Orioles. Maybe 3 back or 2 back. Is that enough? Like, do you think that they can do that and at least keep it interesting until then, or will they fizzle out?
It's tough.
Come on, typical Blue Jay fashion. They got to keep stringing it on.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like that, because then you're still clinging on to hope and the dangling carrots in front of you. Just even after that Baltimore series, you have Tampa Bay right after that.
I know.
That is brutal. At the drop too, right?
Twice, too. Like, yes, you have a Minnesota in between, but you got... No, sorry. The first Tampa Bay series is at home. Then you go to the drop.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I think it would be enough to pique my interest. Obviously, I'm going to watch this team to the end no matter what. But it's going to keep me hoping that, okay, there's still hope. I just wish it was more robust than that.
I know.
Come on, we weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs last year, so to that point that we're this close right now, the door is not wide open, but you know, it's still not, you know, it's being held by a doorstop that might be like a, you know, a random dog toy or something now, not a real doorstop. But there's, I don't see them being that team. And sadly, I think right now the other teams are maybe the ones that are going to keep us in that, like, oh, you know what? We still have a chance. Oakland hasn't really gotten everything figured out. Somehow the Seattle Mariners are still in this conversation. And I'm sorry to say the Boston Red Sox have still been looking back and forth very much too. The only team that's really run away with it a little bit, and I can't even say they've run away with it, is the Yankees, and that's because they just went on a ridiculous tear to even get to where they are. There's nothing saying that any of those teams that I just mentioned can't do that same thing. We're just praying to whatever the hell God you really, you know, go after, that it's the Toronto Blue Jays that are going to be the ones that are going to get that tear and run with it. So there's hope. There's always going to be hope.
It's funny because if I think we talked about this a couple episodes ago, if 2015 and 2016 didn't happen, I think we'd all be pretty stoked right now of how close they are to a playoff spot. Like, I remember back in 2014.
To me, this just feels like the early 2000s again. That's all it feels like to me. Okay, exactly. We're this close. Come on. Yeah. Just go to the next step, right?
I think in 2006, when they won 87 or 88 games and finished second, going into the last bit of the season, they were only like 4 or something back of a playoff spot. And like, oh, this is exciting. They have a chance and they got to do that. And then even, that's how it feels this year. Same with 2014, you know, because they got our hopes up in a big way. In 2014, they slowly slid out of a playoff spot, and then you entered September. I think they were 3 back or 4 back. We're like, oh, there's still a shot. So, yeah, if 2015 and 2016 wasn't around, we all would be stoked right now at the chance that they're still floating around the conversation and excited that they could do it. I think I'm leaning more with you, Adam. It just feels like it's going to be tough to even keep it interesting or being around the conversation to the point where you can have a hot streak at the end of the season and sneak in like some teams have in the past. Who knows? We've seen crazier stuff before. Baseball's a crazy game. There are teams who get hot in the month of September. There are teams that get extremely cold in the month of September and end up falling out of the playoff race. That's kind of what I'm banking on from the Boston Red Sox a little bit, to be honest, just with the way they've cut, they're kind of teetering along. Maybe they are the ones
playing 500 baseball, man. It's just, it's rough to watch them right now because you don't, if I'm a Red Sox fan, I'm freaking out I really am.
Huge. You know what? If I was a Red Sox fan, I'd feel like how we felt in 2016 when the Blue Jays were kind of very cold in September and it was looking dicey to hold on to that wild card spot. So hopefully Red Sox actually do crash and burn and the Blue Jays take advantage and win.
Yeah. So you want the summation of my fandom and my Blue Jay years? Sure. I can still only count how many times on probably this many digits on my hands, how many times we played meaningful September baseball in my entire existence of watching Toronto Blue Jays baseball. Being only 36, you got to remember, I didn't start watching Blue Jay baseball with my dad when there was the random game of the week on Saturday mornings in the late 80s. So, you know, there's only so many good teams in there that, like I said, I can probably count on my collective number of regular finger digits how many times they played meaningful September baseball. And in 2015, 2016, obviously the years we've in the early 90s and late 80s there, but to me this is going to be exciting one way or the other just because of that fact. I've only gotten to enjoy this so many times, and I know young Blue Jays fans don't understand maybe that part to this piece, but this is something very good to look forward to regardless, because they are in this conversation. It is still just the beginning of the window for this team. It's going to be very fun to watch. Enjoy, please, regardless of where the team currently stands.
Exactly. And I think you just hit the nail on the head, Craig. This is the beginning of the window. This is not like 2015, 2016, when the window was closing really quickly with a bunch of aging veterans. This team is just getting started, to be completely honest. And you know what? Even if they win 85 games, they win 86 games, that's a season that they can be proud of. Over a full 162, for the first time since 2019, they were a good team. They were a competitive team. And hopefully it ends up in a playoff spot. You have 5 more years of George Springer after this. You have endless amount of years of Vlad and Bo. You still have Teoscar. The core is set. There's more pieces coming from the minor leagues. So it is only the beginning. And I think we could go into 2022 super excited about the direction this team is heading. And next year is the year where you could legitimately be like, it's playoffs or bust. I think this year it was playoffs could happen. It is a very realistic possibility, but nobody at the end of the day is going to be upset if they win 85, 86 games and end up not making it. We'll look back and be like, if only we didn't blow some games, we'd be in. But go ahead, Adam.
Do you think that the standards would have been lower and people would, because I agree with you when it comes to if they don't make the playoffs, it's not, I mean, I'm going to be upset, but I'm not going to consider this necessarily a failure.
Right.
But do you think a large portion of the fan base, when they do, because I think they will, feels that way sort of because of 2020? Because they've already experienced the playoffs and now the standard has been set that, okay, you've made it. And, you know, sort of forgetting the fact that it was just a 60-game season and forgetting the fact that 2020 had all these barriers that made it easier and or difficult, depending on how you want to look at it, to cross, to get to the playoffs. The Blue Jays were fortunate enough to get there. Do you think that because they made the playoffs, people are saying, well, you've set the standard, you got to get there or else it's a failed season?
I hope not.
I hope not. I think that's where it's I can see your point.
Yeah, I can too. Absolutely, I can. And citing George Springer and Marcus Semien just pushed that over the top.
Honestly. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Definitely.
So,
but yeah, to that point, we had everything in the right. And there are enough things that went wrong that, like I said, I agree that with you. This is definitely not good because you had everything ready to run to the playoffs with.
Yeah.
And then the chips didn't fall right. You know, we played a bad game of freaking checkers. I don't know. But so I think I had to that point I mentioned a minute ago was summarizing up my fandom. Of course, our fans on Twitter apparently are picking up on our mannerisms and all that kind of good fun stuff. Because they said, just remember, this is not a year where you're calling up the Mike McCoys in September to be filling out this ball club. You're bringing up guys like Nate Pearson to throw 100 out of the bullpen and hope to catch fire.
Yeah.
So
someone call Russ Adams.
Yeah.
I know, right? The next follow up to that was that we're DFAing people better than that right now.
Mike
McCoy. Yeah. Yes,
fair.
True.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll be interesting, and I hope to God on Sunday after the game is done that we're like, okay, yeah, we're feeling kind of confident and get a little bit of mojo back, because the last couple of weeks for me, at least, has been very much teetering on the edge. I think, Adam, you saw my tweet yesterday. I'm very much getting into NFL mode. With NFL being a week tonight, I know the Bills are going to be a good team for you guys. The 49ers hopefully will be healthy. There's a lot of reasons for us to be excited about our football team and the start of that season, which we all love, probably very close to the same amount as the Blue Jays. But it's very close to being like, okay, I'm like fully in football mode, and baseball, I'll tune in when I can. If there's football on, I'm watching football, but hopefully on Sunday, I'll be like, okay, pause the brakes on truly going into 100% football mode. There's still some exciting baseball left to be played. We'll see. It starts this week.
3 weeks. You better get it. Game.
Well, with that, guys, Craig, was there any other comments or questions on the Twitter on the Twitterverse?
Bobby K says we're the cutest Blue Jay podcast. Just saying. I told him he should hurry up and get on the show. We can make this the hottest Blue Jays podcast.
Yes, absolutely. Adam, any other thoughts? Craig, any other thoughts, questions, or do you guys want to go into Picks the Click?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Just
do it.
Knock on desk. Let's do it.
You know, yeah, let's do it. So you forgot to get behind me. I texted it to Adam last week. If it's not recorded, that's fine. Yeah. If it's not recorded, that's fine. I kind of bailed on you guys from hopping on the show, so that is fine. That's my penalty.
Oh, he's a forfeit loss for last week.
Yeah, that's Adam, is what I'm hearing.
That's all right.
I was a little selfish last week after the Argo game got canceled.
That's all right.
Mr. Panikkar has fill in blank. Player to be named later. Adam, you had Alex. Yeah.
Who did I have?
And then I had Lewis Gurriel Jr. So
who did I have?
You had Manoah, who pitched pretty damn well.
Ooh.
So Gurriel had a couple key hits. I'll give you about a 50-50. I guess seeing Brendan didn't have a pick, he has no pony in this race. We'll let him pick between Lourdes or Alec.
Ooh. Ooh, let me.
Do you literally want to flip a coin?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it is the flip of a coin, to be honest. Who has the coin? I don't have a coin.
That's a good question. I don't have one. Shit. I don't know why I suggested that. Who has currency anymore?
I think I'll see how fast I can pull up a jar full of pennies and shit down the base downstairs.
Oh god. Why don't we let Twitter decide?
Let's put up a poll. That's fair.
Who has the best poll. Week? I'll put that. Good deal. So anyway, to that point, who are you thinking? Are we going to let Brendan run with his picks and he didn't get one last
week?
I go last.
No, let's go CBA style. Go ahead, Craig. Okay. Go first.
There you go. So I got to go?
Yeah.
I think Teoscar is going to back Vladdy up.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Teoscar.
Brendan. Nice.
Marcus Semien.
Right. Okay.
Manoah's going tomorrow. We're recording again Wednesday. So we'll squeeze in another start. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. On Wednesday.
He'll start. So if you choose him, Wednesday could count.
Yeah.
Well, what time are they playing Wednesday? Seven. No, I can't do that. I'll just go Robbie Ray.
There it is.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah, sorry. When one of us
falls, you're out. Your host for your good news. He's going to have to come
out.
Take his own picks.
Yeah. And in that same order, Craig, we have 3 versus Oakland and 4 versus the Yankees. We'll predict those 2 series. What is your record call for 3 against Oakland and 4 at Yankee Stadium?
Now, see, what I want to happen and what's going to happen are 2 different things.
You want 7-0, but
the biggest problem is I'm happy that we get to face Oakland at home.
Yeah.
But then we get to go to the Evil Empire's house and hope and pray to God that we come out 50-50. Yeah. So I'm going to say 2-1 and then split, hopefully, the 4 against the Yankees. You have to do that. And then I think when the Blue Jays get the Yankees at home in Toronto, because it's going to be an actual legit home game for the Blue Jays against the Yankees, because there's only so much border travel going on. There's not like there's going to be a fuck ton of Yankee fans in the Rogers. It's going to be interesting playoff. I think that series they end up taking it to school against the Yankees. But right now I'm hoping for 2-1 in a split.
Yeah, I'm in the exact same boat. I want to believe they can sweep Oakland. I just can't see it with the pitchers Oakland's throwing out. I can see it, like,
with the pitchers the Blue Jays are throwing out, but I am worried about Cole Irvin on Sunday. He just made the Blue Jays look silly.
Such a wild.
I know. So yeah, 2-1 there, and I'm with you. Away at Yankee Stadium for 4 games, where, remember, they got battered last year in September at Yankee Stadium. Remember, they got swept, and we're like, oh, crap, they might not make the playoffs. Yeah, 2-2, so I'm 4-3.
Yankee Stadium's back to being the house of horrors.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, fans totally. Are all back in full swing and throwing things.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So four and three for you.
They need to win. Yeah, they need to win. They need to win two at least against Oakland. That doesn't boost. We've covered this. It doesn't boost my confidence much.
No.
But realistically, two wins against Oakland, two wins against New York, and it, knowing how the Blue Jays are performing, it's going to be this weird sort of. Like they'll lose the first, win the second, and our hopes will get up, and they'll lose the third, and we'll be like, oh fuck, and they'll find a way to win the fourth, just back and forth. And that Monday is Labor Day here, so it's a day game, so it's two day games in a row. So yes, they're going to be traveling right after the Oakland game on Sunday, but they're going to be playing and being at Yankee Stadium pretty early Monday morning. So surprised me with that one, but
yep,
they got it. I don't have confidence that they're going to sweep the A's. I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see it. And with the Yankees offense and the Blue Jays bullpen, we're going to be lucky to get two.
Gerrit Cole's going on Tuesday. That is confirmed on MLB.com. Yeah. Jameson Taillon on Monday. So maybe they'll be able to hit Taillon a little bit, and the Canadian will do some favors for them, but we'll see. But yeah, I think we're all in agreement. You know what? You tread water, see where you're at going into Baltimore. But again, that's a week you just lose right there of time to be able to gain ground. So yeah, sweep has to happen, but we said that already. Any final closing statements, gentlemen? We do have a little bit of a special potentially message coming. We'll close with that. But any other final comments before we turn it over to Mr. Corsair?
If no one else has anything to say, I'll
he's getting Josh Jacks.
Yeah. Yes. Good night, everyone.
Yes.
Tonight could potentially be the last show that the three of us record for a couple months, well into the off season. And Adam, I'll leave it there. I'll let you run with it. You can close out the show too.
Yeah. No problem. First of all, if this is my last show for this season, you know, it's been great. And, you know, if they do make the playoffs, I will make efforts to be part of it as often as I can. However, my wife and I are expecting our second child, another girl coming into our lives. My wife is approaching 38 weeks on Saturday. The baby was breached, but they were able to successfully turn her. If you have never experienced an ECV or an ECB, I don't know which one it is, whatever, they turn the baby from the outside. It is fucking crazy. And any woman that has gone through that, you are a superhero. Anyways, long story short, I think she's going to be coming very, very soon. It would not surprise me if she comes this weekend. She is dropping. That being said, my time is going to be pretty limited, if not entirely, absorbed with my three-year-old and the new baby-to-be and helping my wife out, of course, during the recovery process of giving birth. So this could be my last show. If the baby decides, you know, I'm going to hang out in here for a little bit longer, I'll be here next week.
We'll see you Wednesday.
Yeah, if there's an impromptu time that you guys put on or listen to JBW and I'm not there, I didn't get fired, as far as I'm concerned. I didn't get fired, and I'm not on probation. I've taken time off, but again, if the Blue Jays do something miraculous and I can find some time to sneak on and talk, I will, but my time is going to be fairly limited. But that being said, this year, if it is my last show, has been an absolute pleasure, guys, and I will be back, of course, next season. Barring it,
you won't even make it that far. It's just the regular season you're gonna miss it. You'll be back for our terrible shenanigans and our trial of Charlie Montoyo over the offseason.
We will save the that episode, or if you want to hop on for the Christmas wish list episode, so that we can make things come true. For there next season, but yeah. Well said, Adam. And I don't know how I can top that. So other than that, let's just do our two claps and a Ric Flair. Ready?
Woo! Woo!
Let's go, Blue Jays.
Get your vaccine.
Yes.
Yeah, get your vaccine.